Hello again, Pastor Deborah here, and welcome again to another School of Light educational course. We are still in the series called Prayer and Fasting. From the website, in the title section called The Kingdom of Agape Love, we are working through Volume 1 of Pastor Deborah's many stories and the scriptures that were foundational to her in helping her to help people the Lord's way. As you can see back here, we are in the section called How to Fast and Pray the Lord's Way. I didn't know how to do that. I knew very little about prayer, except my little childish prayer I used to pray. It went like this: Dear Jesus, I love you, love my mommy and my daddy. Please be with us. I now lay me down to sleep, and I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I didn't realize I was praying that if I died during the night, take me. I asked God to bless my mommy and daddy. That was my simple childish prayers. And then when I got more into church, praying didn't really make sense. No, it didn't. Fasting, many denominations and faiths didn't teach it. I knew nothing about it. But God was going to help me, because he had said, I've called you to help him in his harvest fields. And I got the call refreshed and renewed to me in the Brownsville Revival back in 1995 through 2000 through the evangelist named Steve Hill. He had been an evangelist in other countries, and he was calling us to get the sin out of our lives and get on and get right with God so he could use you. He was in a hurry because the world was dying and most of it was going to hell. I felt the call, and God had to take me to the very basics, beginning with prayer and fasting. And as we work through each section, we'll have many lessons in them. But right now, we are in lesson number 14 of prayer and fasting, learning how to fast and pray the Lord's way. We were working through some scriptures. But before we begin, what do I always teach you to do? And I do this with other pastors who are on live LinkedIn and Zoom, to open everything with prayer, to end every interview with prayer, to have prayers, to be willing to be stopped and give place to the Holy Spirit for salvations, deliverance, and healing prayers. Even if it doesn't fit into what you were planned to do. I learned the Holy Spirit is always working. And if you watch a lot of the videos I put up, you will see me get stopped right in the middle of teaching, because the spirits that are come as you are today want prayer. They want to be saved. They want to be clean. They want to have a Hebrews 4:12 and come out of their cocoon of the soul. So I tell these pastors, did anybody get saved when you did an interview? Did any prodigals come back to God? Did any of the other nations that don't believe in this Jesus Christ of Nazareth as the Son of the living God, that he is the only God, did they hear that? Did they have a chance to get saved? Did they have a chance to get some deliverance done, healing done from your interview? Did they have a chance, if the Holy Spirit wanted to change your interview and just have a time of music or prayer? I just did a teaching where before I got into the Holy Spirit and the people that were there wanted his presence. They wanted the new clothes of white righteousness. And boy, did the Holy Spirit come. He took over. I let him have his way. This is his people. And this is the Father's field and his work. I am to be flexible enough, even while I'm talking to you, and sensitive if the Holy Spirit wants me to stop, be quiet, let him work. I allow you guys to all ask questions and deviate from the message. So I ask these other pastors, can anybody get saved by what you post on LinkedIn? Can anybody get born again, believing or even grow from your teaching? Sometimes people are stuck in religion, stuck by their denomination, stuck by an interview, stuck. Or they're too childish on the interviews. Or they're too giggly. Or they are not professional enough. They're making jokes. And they're only talking to the men, not to the female pastors. They're not talking to the spirits. They're talking to, I don't know who. I listen to them. I look at their pictures. Who are they uplifting? Are their pictures on LinkedIn just uplifting them? Is that all? Where's the Holy Spirit? I've been in many churches. There's no freedom for the Holy Spirit to move. I want to tell you a wonderful story before we get started about that. So you'll know if I stop, the Holy Spirit's directing me. I was in the Brownsville Revival, and I went to another church on a Sunday night, and something happened. The music started playing, and we could all sense that in the Spirit, this Christ Jesus with a band of angels was coming down the street, and he was going to enter into the building spiritually and stand before us and teach. We all sensed it, and we all knew it was happening. I walked up to the pastor and told him he's coming, and the pastor knew it. And God was sending an ember of this revival to this church spiritually. So this church, who had also been praying, could set another fire of revival, another flame of getting the sin out, calling people into the work, and more people could get ministered to in healing and deliverance. And Jesus came, and he stood there, and we were all in awe. Can't explain it. The band didn't know what was happening. They were playing. They didn't understand. But there was a change in the atmosphere. Spiritually, the King of Heaven was arriving. It was right near the end of the service. So we all go home, and we said, we'll come back next week and see if you'll come back again. Well, in between that, this was a Sunday night now, and the normal pastor, who was a so-called prophet of the house, was not there that night doing his normal teaching. God had to wait till he was out of town. Then, when he came back in that Monday, the pastor told him about this and how God was coming and moving and wanted to have Sunday night for himself in revival. Well, this pastor, who was a prophet of the house, wasn't going to let that happen. That was his time. So the next Sunday I went, and he was there, and he shut it down. He refused it. He told us it was not it, and he was going to teach prophecy. Because that was his time, his hour, and he was the king, not the King of Heaven. So this prophet shut it down, and revival never came. If the house and the leadership do not allow God in, do not allow the Holy Spirit to move as he wants, whether it's in a church service and man wants to control it, if it's a job, if it's an interview live on LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, even in a teaching video, I get stopped. The Holy Spirit's wanting to do something. I have to be sensitive to you out there and to him and stand away and let him do his work. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that during this teaching of prayer and fasting your way, that if you desire to take over and you want to speak or you want to just rain down with your presence here in the garden, you are welcome. And we would welcome you. Father, we thank you for the teaching and for helping others to understand the journeys that you took Pastor Deborah on, the education you gave her, the teaching about prayer and fasting, and what the results would be. Help us to see how important you are and what we must learn to help people your way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, let's pick up in this lesson, lesson number 14. We had been working through Isaiah 58, 10 through 14. We had just finished verse 10, which said, "And if you, O spiritual person, spiritually draw, bring out from your soul, from the light of your spirit, shining in your spirit to all the spiritually hungry, the people that do not have my agape love and my light in them, and you spiritually teach and bring forth words that will satisfy and feed them and heal them who are spiritually afflicted, they're wounded, broken, and hungry and thirsty in their spirit and soul for my words of truth and light, my presence, my healing and deliverance. If you do that, then you, your spiritual light and your salvation, Pastor Deborah's, and my righteousness shall glory and be glowing spiritually out. It shall rise up and come forth in the obscurity and the darkness out there in the kingdom of darkness itself, in hearts and minds of people. And this darkness and this ignorance that's in the world will be as the noonday. It will be bright with light, and the darkness will have to give way." Let's continue on with verse number 11 of Isaiah 58, 10 through 14. "And the Lord shall guide you continually by His Holy Spirit and His living words," Pastor Deborah. "And His words of spirit and life will satisfy my spirit and soul as yours. In times of drought and lack, like when I went into that church, I didn't get fed one morning." He just talked about the mission of the church. That's in another story. "Or when this church prophet decided he was going to be in charge." He said, "I'll sustain you. Even when there's drought in churches, there's no true word." Like yesterday, I was listening to two pastors in a live interview. There was no living words in their conversations. There was jokes, laughter. They were having fun. They were talking about the misery of the work and how the families suffer and how they had to decide to put God aside to satisfy the emotional needs of their wives and their children. When you get called by God, you're called to duty first, to serve the kingdom. A lot of kings and queens here in the world, they put the duty to the nation first, not their families, not their children. It's a higher calling. And yes, the children do suffer, but you hope you have good nannies or surrogate parents. Now, the children don't know that about the king or the queen. "My child, I gave him up to do the work of the Lord emotionally." Because once you start entering in and you truly want to help people the Lord's way and you start studying, you must give it all to God. Your wife, your husband, your children, your business. Nothing can stand between you emotionally and spiritually that would interfere with God working through you, your time, and your energy. It's a very difficult position to be in. Many pastors and ministers are torn. Part of them know that they're to serve God first, families come second. Then other pastors believe the family was also called. Well, that may not be true. And they will set God aside to minister and satisfy the emotional needs of their family while others are dying and going to hell. Now, when you get to heaven, you explain that to God, that your wife or your husband and your kids were more important to you than 6 billion people going to hell, and how his purposes meant nothing, and you set him aside to minister emotionally to a soul, not to a spirit. You must be clear when you get called. Who is first in your life? Paul said, I wish that nobody would be married. Because it Barnabas, who was with him, said, oh, I love her. I got to go home to my wife. She's begging me. I got to go. I love her. He said, fine, go. But I'm going on with God. In God's work, you have to almost be a single person. And you have no affection for anything of the world. Your life is spent in prayer and fasting and seeking God and studying. Your emotions are all put on the lost to help God get his purposes done. Soldiers know this. When they go into battle, they're not going home. They may not ever receive a letter from their family, never see them again. They're going to set captives free and give their life to that purpose. Now they're trained, and they take an oath to do that, and they have to let go of their families. Many policemen and law officers and firefighters go off every single day. They may not return, but during that time they are on duty. They don't think about their family. They think about helping people and saving people. So yesterday I watched this thing and it did nothing. There was no teaching in it. There was no spiritual stuff in it. It was denominational stuff. It was pastors moaning and groaning and griping and complaining about how heavy burden the ministry is when you have family and the burnout. That's not encouraging for anybody. And we need them cleared off the field. I wouldn't want to go into battle with them. Can't trust them. So they live outside of the powerful anointing. Their prayers don't get answered. What they want to do sort of part-time doesn't happen. They don't utilize every video, every podcast, every teaching. They spend 15, 20 minutes laughing, making jokes. They're unprofessional. They don't even look into the camera. They don't address the audience. They do no prayers. They offer no deliverance work or healing work. They don't even offer prayers for pastors to be healed, to find direction. God is not in that. And that's why they are frustrated. I'm not frustrated. Even when I had a child to take care of, mother, father, icky, mentally ill brother, and it was a mess, and there was hardly any day that I had rest and sleep. I was attacked in my home, at church. The stress was tremendous, but I stayed steady. I chose God every time. I lived on alert for attacks, and they came in my own home from husband, brother. I had to go into my laundry room and bind up the enemy who was coming through them. They had open doors. But I stayed under Steve Hill at the Brownsville Revival. Get the sin out. Get on with God. He's in a hurry. He's got work to do. And he needs you. I learned fast. I grew. I barely made it every single day. I was reading 6 to 8 books. Prayer. Praising and worshiping. Laying on my face at home. Going to church 7 nights a week, going to the prayer meeting, reading the Bible, watching videos, learning about the kingdom of heaven through Miles Monroe of the Bahamas Faith Ministry, pulling my church membership, going out and about, praying, fasting. I was going to get there where God wanted me and needed me to be. And these stories here in Volume 1 and Volume 2 show you the progression. If you go into the King's International Spiritual Care University and watch all those videos, and you watch all the playlists, you will see what Pastor Deborah became. You'll hear me, how I had to travel out of mental health counseling and into being a pastor. Even that, I was shunned, not welcomed, cut off. Even the women in the church, jealous. Because I'd get up in the jail and read a scripture, and the anointing was on me, and the women would be in the other, it would be in, the prisoners would be in tears, and they got jealous. The pastors would get jealous because I'm doing deliverance and dealing with witches, and they didn't. I was on the deliverance team, and I was using authority and dominion, and most of them couldn't. I had special privileges that they didn't have. Why didn't they join the team? They didn't want to. Oh, I got kicked off the team. Oh, yeah. Because I was trying to help a multi-generational Satanist. And the pastor of the church, he's defending her because he was one with them. He had gotten into some mess in a young age, and he decided to serve Satan against me. I had youth pastors turn against me and accuse me falsely of doing things. It wasn't easy, but I knew I had to pass the test and love my brethren. I would be rejected for being prayed by a youth pastor. I didn't know why. Later, I learned that he was into sin, and God didn't want anything that would be defiled to touch me. Yeah, my eyes were opened to the church people, the pastors. So I'm very sensitive to spiritual work and whether this is just a work of the flesh. And that's what most churches are doing. It's just flesh, just out of the soul. There is no anointing when they speak the word of God. Anybody, Satan can quote scriptures. You think the Holy Spirit is on that when he quotes the scriptures? Denominations who have different beliefs and traditions, they can quote the scriptures, but there's no spiritual anointing on them. Prayer and fasting was Pastor Deborah went through. So let's begin. And I was here in verse 11 being continually guided by him, by his words of spirit and life. And they were spiritually satisfying me even when I would go places and there was no word. Like yesterday on that, watching that live thing. There was no live anointing there. There were no words of spirit and life. Nobody could have gotten fed. There was drought and lack of his living water and lack of his words of agape love and life and truth and wisdom and understanding. There wasn't any. Nobody could have gotten fed or fat or full or rich or strong from watching these two pastors do an interview live. Nothing. People's spiritual bones could not have grown strong. There was no nutrients in the interview. It was wasted. It was just the flesh. Do you think an Islamic terrorist is going to watch that and believe in Christ Jesus? They're more dedicated to Allah than these pastors are to their God. There was nothing. It was dead. There was no life in it. And he says, I will help you. I will help you to be strong when there's nothing. I will help hold you up and gird you. And you shall be like a well-watered garden when there's no water around. When there's no water from any teaching and pastors, since my words will give it. I will give you life-sustaining water, he said, that's full, that's needed to produce the fruit that's supposed to come from my spirit out of my life and spring up like water that will continue to bring forth water deep from the kingdom of heaven, deep, unending. We actually have in my yard an artesian well. It just springs water. Been doing it 40, 50, 60 years. Never ends. Where's it coming from? I don't know. It's deep in the earth. He says, that's how I'll be with you. I'll bring stuff deep from in the kingdom through the Spirit, through you. And it'll be clean water and pure and cold, never ending. They will be words, waters of spirit and life, and they will not fail. Okay. And then he says, if you go on and you help other people in verse 12, and you bring them this water and this bread, these two pastors did not do this yesterday. They did nothing to repair and rebuild and the breach, the brokenness, the torn down cities of these broken ones like you. They did nothing to be an outreach to the Islamic, Buddhist, Hindus, Scientology, the Mormons, an atheist. There was nothing in it that would attract anybody to God, to the kingdom of heaven. There was no opportunity to get saved, to be born again if you even got it. There was nothing. It was dead, empty water. It wasn't even water. And so he said, when you do all this to other people, these wounded and fractured ones, you are being a spiritual restorer, renewer, and builder of the old ancient paths and roads for them to walk on, to live in, to think in, and to follow after. And they have got to find them again. Your life, your words, every video, everything must be doing that, he says. If not, you're a dry, empty well. The rocks, the stones have got you covered up. In verse 13, where we're going to start today, it says, if you, O spiritual person, turn away your foot, your way from the Sabbath. That means from my definition of rest, from doing things your way, from doing your pleasures on my holy day. I rested from all my work. I want you to rest from doing it your way. These ministers yesterday were complaining about all they had to do, their families, all the business of the ministry, because they were not resting in God and letting God do the work. They were doing the work with no anointing on it. He says, when you turn away your foot, your way from doing things, okay, it's not going to be good. But if you, O spiritual person, do turn away from doing things your way, from resting from your work, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord and honorable, and you shall honor him by not doing your own ways of fasting and prayer, nor finding your own pleasure in what you choose to do as fasting, and not speaking and thinking your own words. There was nothing of God in that interview. It was complaining, moaning and groaning about the hardship, the stresses of being in the ministry. Don't tell me that an ISIS person is going to moan and groan and complain. Mm-mm. They're not even to that level. And he's saying you must stop doing your own work, your denomination's work. You must stop begging for things. You must stop trying to find your solutions to things. Let God lead you. Let rest. This is his work. And when you pray to do things to find, that's not why you do it. You pray to talk to God about whatever. You fast off of people and things and families. Your soul must be cut off. You must concentrate on the spiritual. You must get off of your platform where you are doing the work. Okay? And you must rest. And you must stop looking for prayer and fasting to get answers. That's not what it's about. Pastor Deborah had to learn this. Because I listened to pastors who would pray and fast. They needed an answer about business to make a decision. So they would fast lunch. Is that what it's about? What is prayer? I'd start studying Jesus' relationship. Well, first, I got to have a relationship. Then I got to be hearing. And then I studied petitions. Studied going before the king, petitioning. Then I had to study prayers of going into the courtroom and plead a case. But I couldn't do any of that if I did not have a relationship with God. And if I had not had a relationship as a disciple, and given up everything, fasted off everything that the world says is important, that denominations say is important, I wouldn't be here. Because fasting and prayer is not the way the world teaches it, denominations teach it, religion teaches it. It's the way the Word of God teaches it. If you're looking behind into the realm of the spiritual. Jesus Christ, His mind, His way of doing things is how I am to be developing and growing my own mind into His way of thinking. Nobody else's. Not a denomination's, not a religion's, not what Paul, who had to have a thorn in his side because of his pride. When Paul formed the church, it was an earthly thing that followed the pattern of the Jewish synagogues. Women could not go in. Women had to stay at home and be taught by their husband. Women had no say in the ministry. All Paul did was develop a Christianized Jewish synagogue. And God said, I'm giving you truth. But you are so prideful because truth and knowledge, which God knew from Lucifer, will raise you up in pride. And I had to learn how to read Paul's letters and see God's revelation, and then the next few would be, oh, well, I'm the greatest sinner there ever was. That's pride. Oh, I wish everybody wasn't married like me. That's pride. Setting up a Christianized church after the pattern of a Jewish synagogue, that's pride. Paul, if you read his letters, he'd have a section that was pure revelations from God about the flesh and the kingdom. And then he'd go into himself, his soul. And it would then he would come out of that and have a little section of revelation. Then he'd go. And God knew that about Paul. Paul was a prideful, arrogant man. Maybe he was good looking. He was single. He had degrees. He was a Roman. But God was going to use him. But he had to give him a thorn. Was it a demonic spirit? Could have been. Was it he was buffeted and attacked by other Jewish people? Probably was. Was he always under attack, being killed? Yes. God had to keep that man humble. And I told God, don't let me get there. I don't want any thorn in my side. You must study pride. You must study Paul. You must study his qualifications for being used, but yet he had to have a thorn in his side. Yeah. But what did he do? He traveled. Now, I travel on the seas of social media. I'm in boats and ships. I'm in many different things. I can travel farther and wider than Paul ever did. But a lot of pastors still want to go physically into other countries. If they're called, they better go. Pastor Deborah never was. I'm working with the spirits. The spirits can be brought to me because the story goes, and you'll read this as you get later on, volume 1. I was anointed one morning in the church service when the pastor was preaching on the blessings of Abraham, and God wanted to bless me with an anointing. So I raised my hand. And the pastor prayed, and God says, I put an anointing on you that will draw all human spirits to you to hear your words. They will not hurt you, but I will put them, and they will be drawn to you. And I'm going, okay. We got a double dose of it. So early on, I'm anointed, blessed. I know human spirits are going to come to me. And then I'm going out also. My spirit is going to be moving. I'm going to be, my physical body be sitting at home. I'll be in the car and my spirit is gone. That's what God, he's not here. Jesus is not here anymore. Physically. He's moving though. He's still doing his work. He's in dreams and visions. He's in synagogues. He's meeting people in prayers. He's spiritually doing the work. He's physically not here anymore. A lot of people say humans or his hands and feet. I'm not the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. I'm to develop, transform my soul and spirit into his mind so that my spirit can be about the spiritual work. Because this God, we learn in a story with Jesus and a woman at a well, that this God is spirit, and he is looking for the spirit to worship him in spirit and in truth. When I got this early on, which was very early on, my prayer and fasting changed. My prayers changed. How I read the Bible changed. How I looked behind things changed. Who was I to minister to? How I was to minister? What the purpose of fasting off my family and the world? What was that for? What did that do to my spirit? How did that free my spirit? I cut soul ties, soul bonds off. That is a basic deliverance work, cutting soul ties. Yeah, chains attached to the world and anything of it. So I wanted to bring this, and we're going to finish here with verse 13, because the next section of verses is Isaiah 56, 1 through 12. But I wanted to just keep working to show you what the reason for prayer and fasting. Okay, I'm to fast off the doing the work and allow him to do it. He rested, and I must be at rest. And you'll listen to Jesus said, hey, these are not my words. They're the Father's who sent me. I'm not doing my work. I'm doing his work. Until you can get there and truly within your system, believe it, act on it, you won't be anointed. You'll be taking the glory for it. Your denomination will be. You'll be promoting your fellowship, your denominations, and you will be sick and miserable. And you will attract nobody to the Lord. And all your services and your videos, your teachings will mean nothing. They will be dead works, because God's not in it. So I wanted to bring this little next section of prayer and fasting. We'll pick up in lesson number 15 the next time. Let's pray. Yes, you have a question? You want to be to do that fasting his way? Okay. And you what? You want to be able to do his Sabbath, his day of rest, his way? Okay. And you don't know how? Okay, he's going to help you right now. Dear Father, we have some people here, maybe all of them, that they don't know how to do your Sabbath, your day of rest, and to stop working their way and allow you to work. They don't know how to pray and fast your way. Help them, Father. Teach them through dreams and in the spirit. Show them through nature your way of prayer and fasting. Help them to understand what the day of rest really means. And use Jesus as our example. Jesus rested while the Father worked through him. Jesus rested while the Father spoke through him. Jesus knew he was not on his mission. He was on the Father's mission. Jesus was not in a church. He never was in the synagogue. He was never a leader in a synagogue. He never joined the Sadducees or the Pharisees. He was from the kingdom of heaven. And he was a king, bringing back, we know, the kingdom of heaven with the governor, the Holy Spirit. He was on your mission, Father, to do your work. Help us to rest from doing things our way, or the way that we were trained in the world of ministry. Help us to step back and let you be you, and you to interfere and intervene into our services. Help these now, however you do that, to answer their questions, to set them free from doing their own work and their own way of prayer and fasting. Deliver them from these works of the flesh and of Satan. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. You guys can go and play and have a good time. Go back to your bodies. I'm going to go do some more work. But that ends the School of Light's educational class for today. Prayer and Fasting, number 14. We'll pick up again next time in lesson number 15 of the School of Light, this educational series of prayer and fasting, how to help people the Lord's way through His way of prayer and fasting. All right, love everybody. Bye. Thank you for listening and watching this video. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you stopped by today and watch. This is Pastor Deborah, and I hope you come again and watch many, many more videos and learn and grow spiritually and hear how she has helped people spiritually, the Lord's way, for many, many years. Come again, watch another one, and we welcome you to be a subscriber to the channel, to make comments. And if you wish to contact Pastor Deborah, please email her at her email address for the ministry at pastordeborah@agapelovishere.org. You can also see these videos on Twitter and on the website in the many different sections that they are put into. Enjoy, and it was once again an honor to have you watch and listen. Thank you, and come again to another video of Agape Love, Love Is Here Ministries, a ministry of helping people the Lord's way that Pastor Deborah has been doing for many, many years. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.